Now, how did Ruth end up in Boaz's field? Out of all of the fields around Bethlehem, the first field she went to glean was one of Naomi's closest relatives' field. So how did that happen? Did God lead her there? I want us to think for just a minute about how we personally experience God working in our lives. We're going to give a thumbs up for agree or a thumbs down for disagree. And there are no right or wrong answers, okay? Sometimes it is hard to see the way God works in our lives. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Okay? Just because we have a difficult time recognizing God's hand, that doesn't mean it's there. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Okay. God often works behind the scenes. Thumbs up or thumbs down? A coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Okay. So we have some different ideas about how God works, because we all experience God differently, right? Now, Naomi and Ruth experience God a little bit differently. Of course, Ruth had adopted Naomi's God and her faith, because culturally, your faith was the faith of your people. And so when Ruth said, "Your people will be my people and your God my God," Ruth was taking on Naomi's faith. But then when they have this conversation after Ruth has been in the field with Boaz, Naomi is quick to credit God with leading Ruth to Boaz's field. When she returns with more barley than she could have possibly gleaned, her mother-in-law asks, "Where did you glean today? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Already, Naomi is crediting God with the abundance. And Ruth responds, "The man's name is Boaz." Blessed be the one who took notice of you. The man's name is Boaz. How often do we do that? In our English translations of the Hebrew, both the New International Version and the New Revised Standard Version miss Naomi seeing God's guidance. Instead of translating it, "Blessed be the one," which is literally what the Hebrew says, they say, "Blessed be the man who took notice of you." They get it as much as Ruth does. And how often do we fail to recognize God's activity in our lives? Just like those translators, just like Ruth, God guides us, and we might miss it. God nudges us, and we miss it. We take life at face value. "Oh, the man's name is Boaz," we say, instead of acknowledging that God is working in and through us, that we are guided by the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. Now, I know, because I've been asked before, about predestination. And I know that there are people who will ask, "Do Presbyterians believe God predestined Ruth to go to Boaz's field and meet him?" The answer to that is a quick and simple no. Predestination has to do with God knowing from all time who would be saved. It has nothing to do with who meets who in a field. Okay? The theological word that they mean is predetermination. Predetermination says that God foreordained every event throughout history, reducing the world to nothing but a playset for God. And Presbyterians don't believe in predetermination. We know that God formed us for relationship. The whole reason God made us is because God loves us and wants us to love in return. And so God gave us free will so that we could have a relationship. Because without a relationship, there is no free will, and without free will, there is no relationship. And yet, God is active in the world. There's another term for this theological reality. The theological term is providence. Reverend Donald McKim wrote this explaining providence. He says, Presbyterians believe that God created all things and also that God sustains and guides all things. This is providence. God upholds creation by God's power. If God created all things and then walked away, everything would collapse. God's ongoing preserving power is needed to support the creation. But even more, Presbyterians also believe that God is involved in creation. God cooperates with the people God created to work in the world to accomplish God's divine purposes. We can have a relationship with God that enables us to carry out God's work and God's will in the world. The fantastic news of the Christian faith that Presbyterians share is that human beings can share in God's divine purposes. God can use even us to carry out God's will for creation and for the human family. And that enables our lives to have purpose and meaning. Providence, though, can be hard to recognize when we're in the moment, can't it? It's a lot easier to look back on our lives and see how God has been working. John Flavel was an English Presbyterian clergyman in the 1600s, and I love the way he put the difficulty of seeing God's providence in our lives. You know, Hebrew is read backwards. It's read right to left. And John Flavel said, providence is like a Hebrew word. It is best read backwards. But just because we don't see God working in our lives right now doesn't mean that God isn't working in our lives right now. Dr. John Goldingray is a professor at Fuller Seminary. He's an internationally respected Old Testament scholar. And he talks about when he was 13. He was walking home from school, and one day, as he was walking home from school, he met this Sunday school teacher that he had had a couple of years earlier at a church that he had stopped going to. And this Sunday school teacher paused to have a conversation with him. Now think about that. If you had been his Sunday school teacher, and it had been a few years since you saw him at church, would you pause and have a conversation with him? Did you just happen to meet him along the sidewalk? And so when she met him, she said, oh, John, I'm so glad to see you. We are starting a new youth fellowship at the church. I wonder if you'd like to come. Well, guess what? John went. He says, it changed my life. He says, the minister was a keen theologian, and I caught interest in theology. And if it hadn't been for that chance meeting, Dr. Goldingray may never have become an Old Testament scholar. And then 7 years later, when he was 20, he went to a Christian students conference, which he never would have gone to had he not met his old Sunday school teacher that day on the sidewalk and started going to the youth fellowship at his old church. Well, one morning, he went to sit down for breakfast, and he happened to sit beside this particular young woman named Anne, and they started talking. John and Anne were married for 43 years until she died in 2009. He says, it was the most influential meeting of my life, and it just happened by chance. Or did it? The dictionary defines the word coincidence this way: a remarkable occurrence of events or circumstances without apparent causal connection. But I have another name for it when I see God's fingerprints all over some chance occurrence. Instead of coincidence, I call it God incidents. And when you look, you see them. Timing working out just right, doors opening to allow for a major change in your life for the better, somebody reaching out to say they care just as you are feeling especially low. God's fingerprints, God incidents, providence. God is active in your life and in mine. Paul said it this way in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Ruth happened upon Boaz's field. Boaz happened to come and check on his workers that day. Boaz happened to offer her protection and generously told her workers to pull out some of the bundles for her. Boaz happened to be Naomi's closest relative. The closest relative happened to not want to be married to Ruth. Boaz and Ruth happened to be married, happened to have a child, and that child happened to be the grandfather of King David and a direct ancestor of Jesus. Looking back, we see God's fingerprints on Ruth's story. She could have turned back. She could have stayed in Moab. And yet she didn't. And if we recognize God's fingerprints in Ruth's story, we'll recognize them in ours as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.